With a showing at Fashion Week with his autumn-winter 2021 collection titled Rebirth, designer Rodney Epperson and his label Epperson was well-received as it debuted at the Council of Fashion Designers of America's Virtual Runway 360 platform in New York. In 2020, he won the Rising Star Award from Fashion Group International, a global nonprofit organization with over 5,000 fashion industry members. Epperson was delighted to be bestowed such an honor during this phase of his career. The former Project Runway contestant made his mark during season 6, and though he didn't win, he left a permanent impression on fashion lovers. Now, over a decade later, Rodney Epperson has definitely kept his same sensibilities with layered looks, distressed fabrics, and themed silhouettes, leading him straight to his newest line, Just E. This is Kayleen Peoples, and you're listening to Talk Agenda. Let's welcome Rodney Epperson. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
I saw your spring-summer 2021 collection, as well as your fall 2021 collection, but I was really moved by the cinematography of your runway.
Oh my gosh. Which one?
The first one I saw set the stage for the second one, so I pretty much knew what to expect on the second one, but very artistic.
Yeah, very artistic. I'll explain how it all happened. Basically, you know, of course, it was during the pandemic, the beginning of it. I was, like we all were, going through a crazy time, like not knowing what's going on, what to expect. So many people leaving this earth at one time, something we've never experienced. I live in New York, and then there was like a situation where there was a funeral parlor in Brooklyn that had bodies in a U-Haul truck, and it was just smelling up the whole block. And just the idea of me knowing, I live so close to Brooklyn, I'm in Harlem, and I know people that live in Brooklyn, and me possibly knowing someone that knows someone, that's, it was just so much. Yeah. And I was being a protector of my family, my wife and kids, making sure that they're okay. We're talking about everything. What you're feeling, express it. At dinner, we'd have conversations about how the day went and really staying close with everybody. And then I would go into the room and break down and crying out to God, like, how am I going to continue being this person in front of them when I'm just as confused as they are? So God spoke to me. It was, you know, it's like a personal relationship. So it was sort of like, he said, God said, do what you do, you know? And what I do, like during the time, I was working at Saks doing visuals. And I said, I'm not going back to work because they're sending people home because people are getting sick. So then do what I do, I sew. And, you know, I designed. So I just started focusing and started sewing, making clothes, just sewing like almost like a crazy person. But that was my outlet. And then my friend, Mark Baptiste, amazing photographer, he called me up one day and said, Ep, what are you doing? He says, I'm bored. We got to do something. You know, let's do a photo shoot like we did years ago. And I said, sure, I have the clothes. And then he said, do you have a collection? I'm like, yeah, like I have like a whole rack of clothing. And then he said, why don't we, you know, do a video? I'm like, oh, okay, let's do that. Then he said, I'll call my friend that has a drone and blah, 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 blah. It really worked like that from step to step to step. And, you know, it was all God's plan. Because I tell you, that day, like you watch the show and it's like when the models came out, it started out they're wearing black. It was like they were warriors because we had to stand sort of like a memorial. And then from that, it blended into the plaids and the checks and all that. And I was like, since it was so much going on, now we're talking about all of these people coming together, all these different nationalities coming together and being one all of a sudden. That was my mixture of fabrics, mm-hmm. bringing all of these nationalities together. And then from that, it went into like, okay, we're coming out of this eventually. And then it's like the earth was purging itself. You know, so now it's cleansed. So the video's show was basically rebirth. So we're like all sort of born again. We had to chill and rethink so much of it. And everything just happened like that. The day started out really rainy. We had to sit in the van for like 2 hours. Then we started to shoot and they chased us off the beach because we were on a private beach. We didn't know it was private. And then the guy said, oh, just go to the other side. We went over to the other side. We didn't even go on the beach. That blue runway is the entrance to the beach. We're like, this is perfect. You know, I tell you, we didn't even have to scout it out.
Oh, my gosh. I thought that was planned.
No, we moved the van all the way over to the other side of the beach where it's no longer private. And we're like, this is perfect. Like, we didn't even go to the beach. I mean, you'll see me splashing water on a girl, but that's shots after. But that little ramp, that's leading to the beach. That was it. And then when the models came out wearing the cream, the sun came out. And if you notice, there were butterflies flying
Yeah,
around.
I saw that. That wasn't planned either.
No, they were. No, that's what I'm saying. It was. Oh God. No, really. And then, like, there's something with butterflies. I was going through a rough time at one point,
Sure.
and I was sitting in Central Park one day, and I'm like, okay, God, I'll get another conversation with God. And I look down on my knee, and there's this butterfly on my knee. I'm like, oh my God, a butterfly on my knee. So I'm reaching for my phone, so ever can't breathe, trying to get a shot at this, because who's gonna believe this? He flew away. I'm like, oh. So what are the chances? Then all of a sudden, he flew around and he came back and landed on my knee again. That was like God telling me that everything's going to be okay. And from that point on, I had peace. The butterfly thing is like way before the pandemic. But I tell you, when the models came out in the sun, I saw the butterflies circling. And I was like, wow. That's how it was flowing. And it just kept going and kept going and kept going. And that's how that show happened.
I'm amazed because I'm also a filmmaker and I'm thinking, did he buy that stock footage? I couldn't figure it out what it was.
He shot it. It was like he had the camera set, for the models walking. He was shooting on the side, and his friend who had the drone. That was it. That was the whole team, three of them.
That's incredible.
And
That's incredible.
that was like, part of how this whole 2020 started. It just kept going on from there. Nordstrom's asked me to be a part of an exhibit. And of course, like, I had a rolling rack of clothes, so I didn't have to go make clothes. I pulled pieces off the rack and went dressed the mannequins, and there they are. It's been that type of magical. Prior to that, I was praying. I was like, but I would like to give this fashion thing one more real try. It's like I've been doing it throughout the years the way I want to do it. I'm self-taught, so I do it when I want to do it. No obligations. Yeah, I want to do a collection this season. Oh, great. Do a collection, get a little press. Sell to my clients, private clients, and I'm cool. And other than that, I'm dressing windows, mannequins, and stuff like that. It just kept rolling like that. And yeah, that was that show. That was my spring 2021 collection.
Both collections were pretty interesting. They were beautiful, but I'm noticing just some of the styling. A lot is in there. A lot of eras are in there. A lot of meanings of significant sad times are in there. I'm trying not to go where everyone goes.
No, go. Because it's coming from you, and you're an artist, and you know what you're talking about. You have like that extra discernment. So it goes.
I had written a screenplay a long time ago. I never did anything with it. About a slave girl who played violin, basically. She had been literally abducted and held back for years, and she managed to escape. That was my little screenplay. It sounds deeper than it actually is. In the process, because I'm a fashion person, I did all the research on that era, and I saw in your collection an ode to it, perhaps, of some of those clothing. And the way that it was shot, it was moving. Anybody that understands what Black Americans went through, or anyone who cares, has seen enough movies and has probably read enough about it to know what they're looking at. And I did see some of that in the clothing. I'm not saying all of it was that way, but I did see that.
See, that's beautiful. The chills again. I'm like weird like that. Get chills like when something clicks. My daughter, we were going through the questions, like what inspired you. I go from the past, and I can't even say when the past. Like, you said that, like, she's like past seasons. I'm like, not necessarily my work. Time. Almost like, I'm not going to say slavery time. I'm not going to pinpoint it to that. I'm not going to pinpoint it to Christ time. We're not talking about that either. But just somewhere behind me. And it comes out in my work because it's in me. It's really kind of hard to explain.
Is it in your DNA?
That's where it
That's what I thought you meant. I just want to clarify what you're talking
is.
about.
My mom was a designer, and I didn't know that. She made her clothes, and she won a beauty pageant, and she's wearing the outfit that she designed. And she passed away when I was like 14, because I used to help her get dressed, events and stuff like that. Fashion, I think it's always been there. But it came out of me in high school. I would tell people, I think, yeah, pray, and it just comes. And it really does just come. I don't really do research. I could be inspired by a homeless person walking down the street. All of my collections have something to do with survival. like we're warriors, like we're always on defense. Did a collection called Beautiful Women, wearing lattice fabrics woven into each other, like a breastplate, shield, shin guards on the legs. Erykah Badu loved that collection. She bought half of the collection, which was interesting. She's amazing in the sense that she knows what she wants, but she's open to hear. I was designing with her most of the time over the phone. She's talking, I want to be a princess and blah, 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 and this and that. And then, so I'm sketching as she's talking. You hear my sketch going. And then she's like on the front lines. And I'm like, wow, princess on the front lines. So that's my tatted princess. So then all of a sudden you hear the paper ripping because that's the hemline. And then, you know, me, my stitching going through it. It was so easy to design for her. A stylist, an art director at the time, Harriet Cold, she's amazing. She introduced us. She said, I have a client that would be perfect for you. So I started sketching some ideas for her. And then I went down to one of her rehearsals. And I'm like, why am I sketching? Her style is my style, period. You know, like when she yanked the tablecloth and wrapped it around her, you know, in that video. During that time, I was doing patchwork skirts. So it was just like, that's my clothes right there. She ordered like three of the skirts instantly. You know, it's just like, I want that and that and that, and I love that. Then from that, I can just get creative and sketch up things and make things and ship it to her. And, you know, she'd buy it and then wear it. You know, there's a lot of people want to borrow stuff. Oh, you know, this person's famous and blah, blah. It's like, come on. Well, some new artist, oh, you can get exposure. Exposure? It's like, look, Erykah Badu is major, and she's buying my clothing and wearing them. So you're telling me I'm getting exposure from someone that no one knows? No, I'm not cartwheels over that. No, thank you very much. You know, and, you know, I said no to a lot of different things. So, again, being self-taught, it's like I'm in charge. I could say, you know, if I was with someone or company or someone, a partner, saying, yeah, you know, maybe we should do this, maybe I would have, you know. But I was just like, no, that's crazy. You could buy my company. Why would I send you, you know, free hats? You could buy the whole, you could buy me, you know. So I was like, nah, you want my hats, you know, you can buy them. I was doing hats for a while.
You know, I will say this, as I saw your collection, when you said Erykah Badu on your bio, I was like, oh yeah, I totally see that.
Oh yeah.
Wow. And you know, they say there's always somebody for somebody. So it's like,
yeah.
I mean, you do have to find your audience sometimes, but the audience is there. It takes a little bit of effort for some people to find their audience, but there's always somebody for someone's art. It just...
Exactly. I'm not going to please everybody. I know that.
No.
I know that. And I'm not trying to, you know. If I tried to, and I'd be going crazy. Oh, man, I have threads hanging off of everything on purpose. Meant to be, and it's been that way since I started designing. It's not like... Oh, wow, because it's a trend now, you know, upcycling, deconstruction. It's like, wait, I've been doing this forever. You know, it's like, it's weird. You know, like at one point I was like, oh, my God, they're catching up. But then I'm like, you know what? They can catch up, but they're catching up to something. I'm already there and keep excelling. And I know where it comes from. So, you know, it's not going to stop.
No, it's inside of you. It's in your DNA.
There it is. Exactly.
Let me ask you about the models, because they all have an interesting look to them.
Right.
What is your draw to those models? Because I will say, when I saw the images, because you're choosing these models, yes?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So tell me about why you chose those particular models.
Okay, for these shows, and like even if you look at through any of my work or my past work or whatever, I'm always looking for a natural beauty. I'm not looking for what everyone considers beautiful. Oh my God, she's amazing, blah, blah, blah. No, no. It's, there's something like an innocence, like an edge, you know, like a really pretty girl, but a little twist, a really handsome guy with a little twist. And then once I see them and once I meet them, it has a lot to do, and the personality has a lot to do with it. I used to find people on the street, shows with, you know, big models in it, like Tyson. Like, if, I don't know if you went far back with my collections, but Tyson, like when he first started, I was one of the first designers that he worked for, and his amazing face. And then my friends joining into the show. And then during the time it was the Calvin Klein CK1 commercial with Richard Elms and Loy Samuels and Coco Mitchell. And like all of these major people, and they were major. And they were my friends, and they did my show. And then Tyson, they had to look. Like Cynthia Bailey, she's done like 3 of my shows, you know, way before Atlanta Housewives. I have like footage and photographs and all that stuff, my old past. We did a guerrilla tactic fashion show back maybe 20 years ago. And it sounds weird saying 20 years ago, but it may even have been longer than that. 12 of my models walked out in front of the tents here in New York with all of the big designers and all of the big editors and stuff online. And that was like the most press I've gotten up to this date, you know, because we had all that editors sort of like held captive going into Donna Karan's fashion show. We turned around and started taking pictures. I was in bazaar and interview, and, you know, we had the models walking throughout the tent, you know, on the outside with a boom box, just walking in a line. And we caused a ruckus, but at the same time, it worked, you know, and it was just regular, beautiful people. Yeah, the casting. I'm sort of picky. Like the girls coming in with the long hair, the extended hair, and all of the nails and all of that. It's like, and the makeup, and it's like, no, no, I want natural beauty, no makeup. Don't come with makeup. You know, because most of the time I just put a sheen on that face, like a little glow and like a raisin color lipstick. So it's like your real lips with a shade of brown. But natural beauty. I want the clothing to pop, and it's on a real person.
And it does. Your clothes do pop. They definitely pop. And then let me tell you, a second collection for the fall.
Yeah.
I had a question in my mind because I realized that you were artistic after I started seeing the second collection. It's like, you know, a filmmaker who does one really good movie and then you go, okay, well, the next one's going to suck because that was one shot. But then the next one was very artistic too. And I was thinking, wow, wait a minute. Even the styling, like with the makeup, you know, the girl. Now, some people don't like African-American. People prefer black. Which do you prefer?
I'm African-American.
The African-American model was wearing the vivid red. She had the really red cheeks.
Yeah.
What was that? Explain that, because there's a reason, I know, right?
You're funny. Okay, first of all, my makeup artist, she's my son's soon-to-be wife. She's amazing. Yeah, we discussed the makeup. And I gave it a direction. I said, I want sort of darkish eyes, but not like smoking, but I want them to pop, not too much makeup. But at the same time, I wanted them to have makeup, you know, because they're outside. I wanted it to have, like, they're cold, but not cold. Like, if she was white, they'd be red, you know, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I sort of wanted just as natural as possible. I felt that the blush was right. It's not like, it wasn't like, yeah, give her more blush. No, it was just like, but I wanted to look like she had something on her face. I wanted to like enhance her natural beauty, because the little girl, she came in and she had this amazing dark skin, clear, and, you know, we're out in the snow now. So I wanted, it had to do something, you know, if she would have been in the summer show, it would have been like amazing. Just put a little sheen on her face. She's done. But, you know, with this, we just wanted to like make it pop a little. So it wasn't like it was necessarily like, you know, we pinpointed her. I mean, because she was like, she was a little lighter than the other brown girl. I mean, both of the girls are brown, like dark, yeah. Sort of like brown, more brown. And then we had, I think she's white. She's not Spanish. She's a white girl. She had to be strong as well. You can't just be anything. You have to bring whatever it is you're coming with.
The models were almost more like actors.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one of them had character.
Yeah.
But what I got with that particular one look with the really vivid red and then the really red cheeks, it was very doll-like.
When my wife looked at her, we were casting, and she looked at her, she said, she looks like a little doll. And it's funny you say that. And when I saw her in person, I was like, well, she's cute. But then when she put the makeup on, I was like, oh my gosh, look at this little face. I kept walking to her. I was like, look at your little face. Oh. As my wife was talking about how amazing you look. And then there she is. And you just said doll. She looked like a little doll. She really did. And she was so sweet. She was like such a sweet little girl. And they were cold. You know, we would jump, run into the house. Even with that show, my friend Mark Baptiste, he says to me, so you're ready for the fall? And I'm like, getting ready. I was ready. And then he says, I have this great place. And the place that we ended up doing, it was like he was moving into a new house and he was like in a temporary place for a couple of months. He said, yeah, we have a backyard and we could do it in the snow. And I was like, because I pictured, you know, I wanted sort of like wilderness. I was going to do it in Central Park in the snow and have the models just walking around. And he said, I have a place. And what was so amazing, he sent me a picture of the backyard, and I was like, oh my gosh, I was so psyched. I was like, wait, you got to see this, The backdrop was a red wall that's connected to some other, you know, someone's garage. That was the backdrop, if you look at the picture next time. I said, the only pop of color in my show was red. It matches the same red that's the wall. And we just went crazy because there we go again. You know, it wasn't planned. God, that's how God, he said, you can have the space. He told me I was going to use the red sweater. I used the red sweater. It was the same type of amazingly crazy, like genius.
Yeah, because it looks art directed.
No. we got out there and we were like, okay, they're going to walk from here to there. You know, they could stumble in the snow and let them stumble in the snow. They're walking. and it was amazing how it was shot. He's shooting it on the main floor. I photographed how it was shot. He's shooting it on the main floor. He had his assistant way up on top of the roof, and his wife was on another floor videoing and shooting. And the one on top, she was shooting down, and he was shooting straight ahead, and he was shooting as they were walking on the side. It was just like, you know, if we shot it in like maybe 3.5 hours, because, you know, you go in and let's warm up and change the outfits. And then we did like a lookbook, you know, you stand against the wall and, you know, we shot them. And yeah, it was magical. It was no stress, nothing, no attitudes, nothing. Yeah.
All I can say is kudos and wow. I kind of get the understanding now of how the designing for you came about. And it wasn't like something you were doing as a solid career, more so than it was something you were enjoying doing based on your own timelines.
I was supposed to be a dietitian. My mom passed when I was 14. She was having a really rough time. Her diet and everything was so strict when she was in the hospital. Anyway, so I said, you know, I'm going to be a dietitian, you know, because you know, people shouldn't have to eat like this. That was my whole head. And, you know, I get into high school and then I'm like, I'm failing biology. How the hell am I going to be a dietitian? I'm failing biology. So then I had to take a shop class. And there was this girl that was, her name is Rhonda, in high school. And she, beautiful, beautiful natural beauty, as I keep mentioning. And I said I wanted to get to know her. So she took a fashion design class. And I took the fashion design class so I can get to know her.
Mm.
I took the fashion design class and it didn't work out. You know, she was just a nice girl and I guess I wasn't the one, right? And so then she ended up leaving the class at the end of that marking period. And I got like an 80 on my report card, which is high for me. My younger sister, she was the one that when we're coming home, you know, for report card day, she's skipping, bragging about, hey, I got my report card. You know, she did very well. And I was the one that would say, I didn't get my report card today because it was that bad. Red mark. So I got an 80 on my report card. I'm like, oh, there's something here. And I was like sort of quiet in school. I was like, wasn't a geek, but I didn't play sports or anything. So I wasn't with the cool guys. And my sister was really pretty. And the cool guys, they sort of became my friends so they can get to know her. And then when I took fashion design, only guy in the class, so they became my friends so they can get to know the girls. Like, I was being used all around. Got like an 80, and then I got an 85, and I went up to like a 90, 98. Each marking period, I kept getting better. And I was like, wait, this is great, you know, and I'm loving it, and I'm getting attention, and I'm, you know, it was like a, you know, it's like I feel like I'm being, there's something being released here. And then my sister and I, she dated the brother, I dated the sister. And so we ended up moving in with that family because we were living at my older brother, our guardian, when my mom passed. So we ended up moving out of my brother's house and we moved with their family. And just so happens the mother and the mother's sister, they both were fashion designers.
Hmm.
So I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm in this house with fashion designers and they had a factory in the basement. We started sewing. We would sew during the week and on weekends we would sell at Aqueduct and Belmont Racetrack, like a big flea market. And that's how it all started. Got my own table, my own booth, and started selling my clothing to small stores. It just kept going on and on and on from there. I started doing visuals, dressing mannequins at Charivari, which is a fashion store here in New York in the 80s. They were like the first people that brought all of the European designers over, all of the Japanese designers. They introduced them to New York, to America. And I was dressing windows there. I was working with Comme des Garçons clothing, Issey Miyake, Dolce and Gabbana, all of these major designers, clothing, like really studying and looking how it's made. I think my aesthetic is sort of like a Japanese design aesthetic, if you had to label it. They're loose and they're freedom. They do whatever they want, and that's what I've always done. I've never followed the trend. I'm always doing what I felt, and that's what they do. That's what I still appreciate to this day about what they do. When I wasn't designing, I was dressing windows, dressing mannequins from Alexander's, and then I went to Charivari. And that was a giant jump, you know, because Alexander's is like a department store. Back in the day, it was lower than Macy's, you know, like Sears. It's like in that range. To go to the top, one of the top boutiques, I got to work with amazing designers' clothing, you know, so I didn't feel like I was losing anything. I was only gaining because I'm working with the best. And that's what sort of inspired my work. Do what you feel. You know, and it just kept going on from there. You know, I started doing hats and I sold to Barney's. I sold to Traffic in LA and Charivari. They carried my first collection. I had like five or six of my friends that we went to their Christmas party and they wore my clothing. And the owners were the buyers. They're like, whose clothing are those? They didn't even know I was a designer. I was dressed in their windows. And we set an appointment for me to bring the collection in because they liked what the models were wearing. A couple of days later, I went to meet with them and they bought my first collection. It was like a major, like, oh my gosh, I'm selling in this amazing place. So, you know, just built confidence. From there, I took a break. I modeled for a while, like in 89 and 90, doing styling models. And again, that same photographer that shot both of my shows, he took a couple of shots of me. He was checking the lighting and we were like, these are great. And I was like, wow. Look at me. And then one of my friends, Fred Odom, you know, God bless him. He was like, you should do this. And he just pushed me and pushed me. It's like nothing like support. And then my first time ever flying on a plane, I flew to London and Paris and to start a modeling career. I did that for like a year and a half, 2 years. And I did a show in Paris. And again, the same photographer I'm telling you about, he's in the audience and he shot me while I'm on the runway. That's funny. I got to call Mark. I got to bring that back to him. We've been in each other's lives for over 30 some odd years. That's crazy. They even say 30 years.
I know, time flies, you know.
It really does. I'm like, it was like, say 30 years, it sounded like, oh my gosh. I had my shop in Soho, had different studios in a garment district, and had a partner, John Berry, used to design Exodus, and we opened up a shop in Brooklyn, you know, when Brooklyn was Brooklyn. And Fulton Street was these cool designers, you know, mom and pop shop, and they're all black designers. And it was just like, wow. That was during the time we met with Erykah Badu, lived around the corner. She used to just pop into the store and try stuff on and buy stuff. It's just like, oof, well, this is interesting talking about this because I don't think about this until I'm talking about it. You know, and it's, yeah, you know, so with that, we had the shop and then we separated the partnership and my wife and I, we moved our shop to Soho in Manhattan, which was really cool. We stayed there and then 9/11, once that happened, we had to shut down that following year because no one was coming to the city at that point. We were like 10 blocks away from World Trade Center.
A lot of businesses went under.
Totally.
A lot of designers folded.
Especially that area was done. Time went by, opened up a studio and then another studio. And I was sort of feeling like, why am I doing this? And blah, blah, blah. Those down moments. Then I get from Facebook, I get a message from Project Runway. Project Runway found me on Facebook. I thought it was a joke. And I contacted them. I went in and I met Tim Gunn. And he said, I'm perfect for the show. And I had the attitude like, what do I have to lose? Like, why not? You know, like 4,000 people auditioned that season. They contacted me and I had the attitude like, okay, I'll do it. That's really how I felt about it. Because I'm like, they just get people on the show to cry. It's so ridiculous. And I said that. And lo and behold, they got me on the damn show and I ended up crying. But I cried because I missed my family. We shot it in LA. I was never away from my wife and my kids. And my daughter's now 12. You know, if you Google season 6, you'll see me on the show. I had long locks and all that craziness. And my daughter that's in our arms, she's now 12 years old. So I left my wife, you know, with the kids. And it was three of them at the time. They were really young. They let you talk on the phone to your family. And I'm talking to her, and I'm like, so how are the kids? And then all of a sudden, I heard them in the background. I'm like, oh, gosh. And then the camera pans over to my dress form. They have a picture of them stuck on my dress form, and then all of a sudden, you know, you hear my voice and a tear. It was just, I was like, you guys are genius, because it didn't happen like that. You know, they edited so perfect. Whoever watched it felt so sorry for me, because I missed my family. The letters I got, the love I got. And even after, once I got off, people were like, you wanted to come home, and we wanted you to come home, but we wanted you to win, and you should have won, and blah, blah, blah. You know, just total strangers on the street, you know, just screaming. And that was a crazy adventure. I wouldn't do it again. It was what it was. And it's so funny. I was in a fabric store like a couple of years ago, and someone's like, I know that voice. She knew my voice. And I'm like, yeah, you know, my hair, I don't have the locks anymore. And then she came around, found the fabric. She says, oh, my God, it's Epperson. She remembered me. I'm like, wow. You know, she said, no, we loved you. But, you know, I still get that. I'm telling you how long ago it was. Like I was talking about the butterflies and God, right? I was like feeling like sort of like, oh, boy. You know, one of those days walking with your head down. And I'm on a corner getting across the street. This car pulls up and this lady screams out the window, Epperson, we love you. We saw you on Project Runway. That was 10 years ago. What do you like? And I was just like, all I could do was like, you know, like a tear rolled down my eye, and I just looked up and said, thank you, God. It was like a reminder, like, keep going. Get out of this little funk you're in. Keep going. And that's my whole thing. The whole perseverance is my key word. You know, fast forward. Just during the pandemic, I ended up winning the Rising Star Award.
Yeah, I saw that. I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, the Fashion Group International. Nicole Fischeli and Freddie Lieber. He's an amazing stylist, art director from Vanity Fair years ago. Borrowed my clothing. And he was like, oh, when my friend comes back from Europe, I wanted to meet you. You know how many people say that.
Yeah.
She came back and he took her to the exhibit that my clothing were at Nordstrom. She loved the clothing. She said that I should enter this contest. And I'm like, contest? Okay. Yeah, okay. I entered the contest right at the beginning with all of the Zoom calls and all that mess. And I'm like, I'm not on a Zoom call at all, because I was working just in mannequins and now I'm home just making clothes. My wife and the kids, everybody's on Zoom because they're in school, and she was finishing up school and she worked from home. And then I had to get on the Zoom call. They could see me, but they couldn't hear me. I had to dial them on the phone so they could hear me. And just so happens, I said, look at my spring collection, and then you get an idea. So they saw the collection, and they were loving it. Anna Sui, Rick Owens, all of these major designers were actually judges for this competition. So these people are on the phone, and I'm like messed up, and I'm trying to hand my phone up and down the dresses and explaining them. And I'm like, I really messed this one up. We finished the Zoom call. 2 days later, they call and say, oh, congratulations. We'd like for you to, you know, take part. I was shocked. I thought I blew it. I thought I blew this interview. And then, you know, a couple of weeks later, they said that I'm a finalist. What? I said, what again? I'm like, finalist? Really? Like, not are you sure, but I just couldn't believe it. I'm like, you're not kidding me, right? It's not April, so it's not April Fool. No, it's really like that, because I was just like, no. So then the night of the award show, I'm sitting here, like, and I'm sort of like away from the computer, so just in case when they call my name and I don't win, they won't see me when I push the computer off the table. That was in my head. He saved the women's part for last. I'm like, oh, come on. I had to sit through this whole thing. So then when they said, the winner is, and then they said, Epperson, I'm like, I didn't say what? I didn't say that. I was like, the word came out of my mouth. I was like, perseverance, perseverance, perseverance. Don't give up. Don't. Because I didn't believe it. Perseverance was the only word that could come out of my mouth. Once I got off of that high, it's in front of a screen. I tell you, I was really shocked. The panel, they called, and they're, congratulations. When we first saw your work, we knew that you should have won. You should win, and da-da-da. You're amazing, blah, blah, all of this. And I'm like, thank you. I tell you, it was so surreal. It was like, what? And since then, I've been like with different organizations, Black Design Collective, Raise, and Designers Hub, all these different groups of people giving information, mentors, in a sense. And the pandemic time, this time has been like a really interesting time. There are questions like, how did it interrupt your business? And I said, you know, actually, it gave me a kickstart. Before all of this is happening, I prayed again. I would like to give this one more shot. How am I going to do it? There's no time. And lo and behold, boom, pandemic. Stop the world. Whoa.
You mentioned earlier in the interview that you were a Christian. So let's talk about that for a second. Anyone else would say, oh, you're super lucky. All it is you have favor. That's what it is. And you're ridiculously talented. I mean, I'm looking at something right now. I was going to like surprise you with it. Cleveland.com, right? And they're talking about Project Runway, and they said, Dear Mary Lou, as a Project Runway follower, I wonder what has happened to one of my favorite contestants, Rodney Epperson. Can you track him down?
Oh, wow. Someone said that?
Yeah, and then there's Dear BB, and she's saying, his name is BB Kent. Dear BB, I met Epperson. He prefers to use his last name at a dinner honoring one of his idols, Stephen Burrows. Here's what the New Yorker has to say about himself and his current role in the fashion world. And then,
really?
Yeah, and he says, and this is what you said. My current collection is a reflection of where we are now, holding on to what got us here, striving for a new tomorrow, unsure of our present date, searching for individuality within. There's a victorious feeling in the air. We're warriors preparing for the future. It's time to reinvent ourselves. Don't look too far back. Collect, store, achieve, and keep it moving.
Wow. Whoa, I haven't even saw that.
Yeah, I can find anything. It's pretty. I'm just playing on my phone, really. But yeah, no, this is really incredible.
Oh, yeah, so funny. Like you're saying, it's not lucky.
You're highly favored.
Highly favored, yes.
Yeah.
No, here's a bizarre thing. Yeah, at the beginning of the year, I got shingles. And right in the center of my head, this crazy mark on my head, you know, like it's blisters. It was crazy. When it healed, it was a cross. Google on your phone, Ambassador Magazine. I did an interview for YouTube, and Mark and I were talking about this spring collection, how we shot the cover, and you see a cross in the center of my head. It's sort of fading now, but it's really like a cross.
Is it Epperson, A Legend Rises? Please join.
Yes, yeah. There's a couple of photographs, black and white photographs, and you see this cross in the center of my head.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah. You know, and then like in the video, in the interview, they'll, you know, I said, no, people think that, you know, it's a tattoo. You know, I'm like, why would I put a tattoo on the center of my head, my face, you know? And I said, no, this is how it's healing. And there we are.
To learn more about Epperson, visit www.eppersonstudio.com. This is Kayleen Peoples, Talk Agenda. This episode is sponsored by Bella Composers, and you're listening to Amy Marie by People's Republic. This is off of a new Rite of Passage CD.